We're doing Gemara Megillah. We're up to Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, the two dots, about 15 lines from the bottom. Mechin b'motereihim. We said that the halacha that says you cannot detract from the holiness of an item when you sell it applies not only to the item, not only if you sell a Sefer Torah must you use the money to purchase a new Sefer Torah, or if you sell something of lesser holiness, you have to use the money to buy something of a greater holiness. But v'chein, so too, this applies b'motreihem, with the leftover money. Meaning, if you sold a shul, and now you're going to buy something holier, and then you have some leftover money, the leftover money also must be used to buy something of greater holiness. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Amar Rava. Rava said, lo shanu el hashem macheru v'otiru. Our Mishnah only said it with regard to a case where they actually sold the item and had leftover money. They used some of the money to buy something holier, and then they had leftover money. Aval gavu ve'otiru. But if they raised money in order to buy a Sefer Torah, and then they bought the Sefer Torah, and they had leftover money in their hands, mutar, then it is permissible to buy something of lesser holiness, because until the money is actually used for something holy, that holiness does not rest on that value. Eitive Abaye. So Abaye posed the question. Bamedvarim amurim. We have the following quote, a braisa that pertains to our Mishnah. The braisa says, when do I say that you have to use the money for greater holiness? Shelo itnu, that they didn't make a condition. Aval itnu, but if they made a condition that we may hereby stipulate that we may use the money for whatever we want. Afilu leduchsusya mutar, the money could even be used for duchsusya, which the Gemara will explain what that is. Hey chidani, what? Yeah, more or less I'm translating. Hey chidami, so the Gemara asks, how so? In which circumstance is it talking about? If you want to tell me it's talking about a circumstance where they sold the item and then they had leftover money, what does it help that they make any condition? The value of holiness is already there. You have a Sefer Torah that's worth $40,000. You sell it. You get $40,000 of money. That money has that holiness. Now you use $20,000 to buy another Sefer Torah. What does it help that you make a condition when you sell the Sefer Torah that now you'll be able to use the remaining $20,000 for something else? How could you make a condition? The Sefer Torah was all holy. The money you got for it is all holy. How could your condition help? Ela, but rather we have to say, shegavu, that the Braisa is talking about a circumstance where they raised money, votiru, and they had leftover funds. So what did the Braisa say? If they made a condition, then they could use the leftover funds for something else. So we can surmise. Taima dehitnu, the whole reason why they could use the leftover money for something else is because they stipulated, because they made a condition. Halo itnu, lo. But if they wouldn't have stipulated, if you don't make a condition, then even when you fundraise, the leftover money has the same holiness. And not like Rava said. Rava said, when you fundraise, the leftover money does not have that holiness. And here we said in the Braisa that only works if you made a condition, if you made a stipulation. Without a stipulation, then even the leftover funds have that holiness. So the Gemara says, no, you didn't understand the Braisa correctly. Le'olam shemacheru v'otiru. Really, the Braisa is talking in a circumstance where they sold a holy object and they had leftover money. The hachi kamar, and this is what the braisa means to say. When do I say that when you sell a holy object, the money takes on that holiness? When you don't have the seven good men of the city making a condition with the city people standing present. But if the seven good men of the city, meaning the seven council board members, if they made a condition and then that condition takes hold in the holiness of the object, so then you may even sell the shul for a duchsusya. And the Gemara is going to explain what duchsusya is soon. So The Gemara gives a different explanation in the Braisa. Let's just review what we saw here. We said in the Mishnah, leftover money has the same holiness as the money itself. Rava came and said that's only in a situation where you actually sold a holy object and had leftover money. You used some of the money to buy something holier, and then you had leftover money. So then, the leftover money also has holiness. But if you fundraised, that money never took hold in the holiness, just because you raised the money. Abaye questioned, we have a brisa that says you need a condition for the holiness not to take hold of the leftover money. We said that brisa is talking about a circumstance where you actually have a holy object. You have a shul. You bought a shul. Now you're going to sell the shul. You get $2 million for that shul. That money we said in the Mishnah is holy. Came the brisa and said, yeah, that's if you didn't make a pre-stipulation. But you could pre-stipulate that the holiness is contingent on the 7 board members, the 7 councilmen. If you have 7 people who are the top people of the city and the city relies on them, they can also remove the holiness totally. And then they could sell the shul and use the money to purchase something like duchsusya. In a second we'll see what that is. Amale Abaye. So we saw earlier that that rabbi has to be like the chief rabbi, that everyone really relies on him. Yeah. Otherwise, it seems like, yeah. It seems that way. I don't know. Amale Abaye lahum rabbanan. Dehave mesado manita kamedu rav sheshet. Abaye said to one of the students who used to review his brisas before Rav Sheshet. Mishmielach marav sheshet maiduch susya. He said, you know, we have this quote in the brisa. The brisa says, if you have a pre-stipulation, you could even use the money to buy duch susya. So Abaye asked him, you always used to arrange your Tanai quotes in front of Rav Sheshet. Did you ever hear from him what this duch susya is? Abaye didn't know. Amar lehachi amar Rav Sheshet. So he said, this is what Rav Sheshet said. Parsha demata, parasha demata. Parasha demata is the parash, is the horseman, demata of the city. Meaning sometimes the people hire a horseman that whenever they need to send a message out, they'll have their minuteman ready. Yeah, he's always standing on hand. So that's a hired man. He's there. If the city ever needs to send out a message, he's there ready. That's like the post, right? The old-fashioned version of the mail. So the duch susya is the maybe the duke's horseman. The duch susya, the horseman comes from the word sus, right? The horseman that the city hires, the duchta is the city, hires this susya, this horseman, to be on hand. So that's something that has no holiness, right? So it says when you sell a shul, if that shul had its holiness with this pre-stipulation, then the money does not have any holiness, and you could even use the money to hire this horseman. That's what the Braisa is saying. Amar Abaye said, Hilkach therefore haitzu bam rabanan. This sharp student, the young rabbi, Deshmea lemilta v'lo yada perusha, if he hears a quote and he doesn't know what it means, he should ask someone who's frequently in the presence of rabbis, because he probably heard it from him. So if you have a quote and you're not sure what it means, the person to ask is someone who frequents with big rabbis, because then the mere fact that he rubbed shoulders with them, that he's around them, means that he probably heard it from them. Okay.